Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Oh, my God, I'm exhausted physically. I'm doing a lot of work these days during the day. And so bear with me. I have a lot of on my shoulders. And in fact, I hurt physically in my shoulder. But we can still talk about the news. And there's this Mike Pence clip, which is it tells us so much about the psychology of interviewing. First, Tucker Carlson is at this Republican convention. Susan B. Anthony, pro-life America with the blaze. They have the big players of the Republican Party gathered somewhere. I don't know what this event is, but holy shit, we see Tucker confront one after the other the great names of the Republican Party. And it is so stunning, the contrast. The contrast first between Tucker and Mike Pence. Then Nikki Haley, then some other guy where he talks about the vaccines. We'll review all of these clips. But it's fascinating to see Tucker is capable of being there. Somehow he got in this position where he can put the Republican Party on the grill, and they've let him do this. It's quite surprising. And he totally destroyed Mike Pence. Now, the clip arguably is taken out of context, and you have to understand here that Mike Pence, he didn't misspeak, but he spoke in a way that is not readily understandable if you don't pay too much attention to what he was truly saying. I will show you all of the subtleties of this clip right here, but it's making the rounds on Twitter right now. Mike Cernovich, many right-wingers on Twitter are saying, what the fuck, Mike Pence? Mike Cernovich was saying, Mike Pence said of American cities falling, that's not my concern. First, let's listen to it without commentary, and then I'll tell you what happened. That led to this kind of half Freudian slip, half misspeak, half misunderstood sentence by Mike Pence.
Along the way, the Biden administration has been slow in providing military support. Make no mistake about this. We promised them 33 Abrams tanks in January. I heard again 2 weeks ago in Ukraine, they still don't have them. We've been telling them we'll train their F-16 pilots, but now they're saying maybe January we'll let somebody transfer some jets.
I'm sorry, Mr. Vice President, have you, I know you're running for president. You are distressed that the Ukrainians don't have enough American tanks. Every city in the United States has become much worse over the past 3 years. Yeah. Drive around. There's not one city that's gotten better in the United States.
I know people are uploading to this Tucker view of the Republican Party.
And it's visible. Our economy has degraded. The suicide rate has jumped. Public filth and disorder and crime have exponentially increased. And yet, your concern is that the Ukrainians, a country most people can't find on a map, who've received tens of billions of U.S. tax dollars, don't have enough tanks. Right. I think it's a fair question to ask, like, where's the concern for the United States in that?
Well, it's not my concern.
What the fuck? It's not my concern.
Tucker, I've heard that routine from you before, but that's not my concern.
And he repeats it. Now, Tucker has just laid out the concern of American puritanism. I mean, filth in the streets, people suffering in America. Now, people have understood this sentence of Mike Pence the way you would understand it if you don't pay too much attention. Holy shit, Mike Pence is saying that he doesn't care about filth in the cities. I mean, at some point today, I was trying to wonder, does he mean those are Democrat cities where there's filth, so it's not my concern? But let's play it to the end, and then I'll show you what happened.
I'm running for president of the United States because I think this country's in a lot of trouble.
Now, that seems very contradictory. Yes, it's in a lot of trouble, but Tucker Carlson just told you some of these troubles, which anyone would acknowledge exist, and yet you said to him, that's not my concern. Here's what happened. Let's rewind And I will show you that Mike Pence wasn't answering to the end of the question of Tucker Carlson. He was answering to 10 seconds before. The word concern was used twice by Tucker Carlson, and this is a lesson as a public speaker. Never, never prepare your answer until the full sentence hasn't been said, because your answer could totally change meaning by the standard of the last few words, which is what happened here. Mike Pence wasn't quite listening because he had already set in his mind what would be his response to Tucker. But as Tucker progressed through his sentence, he slipped in a double sense for the word concern, and Mike Pence just fell for it. I will show you all of the moments within the psychology of Mike Pence here.
We still don't have them. We've been telling them. We'll-
so here, Mike Pence is just making his regular discourse around Ukraine. We need to be better on Ukraine. We need to send more tanks.
We'll train their F-16 pilots, but now they're saying maybe January we'll let somebody transfer some jets.
I'm sorry, Mr. Vice President. Have you? I know you're running for president. You are distressed that the Ukrainians don't have enough American tanks.
And holy shit here. Tucker, I said yesterday that he was not a good interviewer. He's not a good human interviewer, but he's perfect in the confrontational mode.
Every city in the United States has become much worse over the past 3 years.
Yeah.
Drive around. There's not one city that's gotten better in the United States.
Right.
And it's visible. Our economy has degraded. The suicide rate has jumped. Public filth and disorder and crime have exponentially increased.
So here, Tucker is laying out the problem that you are ignoring.
And yet, your concern is that the Ukrainians, a country most people can't...
Now, listen to what Tucker just said. Your concern is that the Ukrainians. And here, already in the head of Mike Pence, a sentence of response to Tucker already develops. Now, most people don't notice because Tucker will continue extending his sentence overly long. But this is what he was saying. Tucker was saying, your concern is Ukraine. And Mike Pence was answering, no, Ukraine is not my concern. But look at how it develops. So Tucker has just said, your concern is Ukraine.
Can't find on a map who've received...
A country that people can't find on a map.
Tens of billions of U.S. tax dollars.
And look at the face that Mike Pence is doing here. This face in a debate or interview means, are you done speaking yet? I already have my response. That's not my concern. My concern is not saving Ukraine at the expense of American cities. Mark D's channel says, oh, Jeff, you are a genius. I don't like Pence, but I think you are right. Pence is still processing. Pence has decided what his answer would be. He's now annoyed at the domination because the role of a host or someone who's the speaker in a debate, who's kind of neutral or who's the journalist, the role is not to invade on the content. The role is to leave place in the content. So at this point, Mike Pence is like, are you done, Tucker? Are you done, morally displaying to the crowd? Because I've already have my answer. So anything you say after this, I will not listen to. Look at his eye. I will not listen to what's coming because I'm already set to answer.
Don't have enough tanks. I think it's a fair question to ask. Like,
and here he makes the error of saying, right. If your answer is going to be a rejection of what the other person is saying, don't slip in a right when he makes a description of there being enough tanks. That sets the audience to say, oh, well, Mike Pence partly agrees here that Ukraine doesn't need help.
Where's the concern for the United States?
See, he's already set on that's not my concern, Ukraine, and masterfully, Tucker drops in. What's the concern? Where's your concern for the American cities?
States in that.
Well, it's not my concern. Tucker, I've heard that routine from you before, but that's not my concern.
He was already set on saying this. I've heard that routine from you before, but he forgot that the end of the sentence. Notice that he speaks over Tucker so much that actually his brain hasn't yet processed the end of the sentence of Tucker.
Tucker, I've heard that routine.
Let me rewind a little more.
Most people can't find on a map who've received tens of billions of U.S. tax dollars don't have enough tanks. I think it's a fair question to ask, like, where's the concern for the United States in that?
Well, it's not my concern.
He jumps so quick. This is the problem of having an old brain. You have a time of reaction. So he was answering to what was not even a question 10 seconds earlier, but the question that was slipped in at the end by Tucker made it a fatal mistake. So someone says, Speaker's Corner says he made a mistake, but ironically, it's actually what he thinks. Yes, that is where it's interesting. That's where it's like, it's not a Freudian slip. It's not a misspeak. It's a misunderstanding. And it kind of, I don't know. I found myself wondering after analyzing all of this, and it took me hours to figure out. I mean, hours. It's not like I was just looking at this, but among my thinking on the news today, it took me a while before I realized, oh, okay, this is what's happening here. But one has to wonder, is Tucker so good that he did this intentionally, or was it just an accident? So here, Mike Pence is already combating the misinterpretations of his speech on Twitter. He said, sorry, Charlie Kirk, because Charlie Kirk was saying, Tucker Carlson just brutalized Mike Pence for prioritizing Ukraine despite a litany of social ills afflicting America. Tucker asks, where's the concern for the United States? Pence says, that's not my concern. Tucker, I've heard this routine from you before. That's not my concern. And Mike Pence replies to Charlie Kirk, sorry, Charlie Kirk, that is what we use to call fake news. Here's the full clip of my remarks if you're interested. So with the reclipped version by Mike Pence, we just get to hear a little more after. Let's see what he says after.
I think it's a fair question to ask, like, where's the concern for the United States in that?
Well, it's not my concern. Tucker, I've heard that routine from you before, but that's not my concern. I'm running for president of the United States because I think this country's in a lot of trouble. I think Joe Biden has weakened America at home and abroad. And as president of the United States, we're going to restore law and order in our cities.
So here we're going to, as a president of the United States, that doesn't work from a just pronoun perspective. Does he identify as a they? Mike Pence lacks the dynamism and the IQ and the cognitive presence to run a good campaign.
We're going to secure our border, we're going to get this economy moving again, and we're going to make sure that we have men and women on our courts at every level that will stand for the right to life and defend all the God-given liberties enshrined in our Constitution. Anybody that says that we can't be the leader of the free world and solve our problems at home has a pretty small view of the greatest nation on earth. We can do both. And as president of the United States, we will secure our border, we will support our military, we will revive our economy and stand by our values, and we will also lead the world for freedom under my administration. I promise you.
Amen. Vice President.
This doesn't get as much enthusiasm as even Tucker's attacks. That is quite fascinating. This guy cannot awaken in the right an enthusiasm of the kind that Trump or Tucker can awaken. So in the end, I don't think that this clip, I mean, it's not so much this clip that Mike Pence is now publishing that saves him. It is the analysis I just did. He was answering to an earlier instance in the sentence of the word concern. That is definitely what has happened here. The longer clip, well, it shows a Mike Pence who really takes a lot of time to get to his point, and it doesn't absolve him really of the "that's not my concern." What truly absolves him is the fact that there were two words, concerns, in Tucker's question. But Mike Pence has to learn the trick of public speech, which is you always take the full intervention of your opponent, the full intervention of your interviewer. You don't prepare a response before this. But for that, you need to have a quick brain. Lendalt Guntram says, ridiculous. Even America has to prioritize, especially in the contemporary era. The whole macroeconomic situation will literally force us to. Yeah, I mean, it's an argument that is totally valuable. If we weren't so much stuck on the semantic issue and the misunderstanding that's currently happening on Twitter, perhaps we could have a debate on it. There's always a trade-off, you know? Resources, energy, economic energy, call it whatever you want, it's limited. And when we invest it for Zelensky, we dilute our own. No matter how we do it, even if we were to print money specifically for Zelensky, then our US dollars would be worth less. And we would definitely be sacrificing some services that otherwise we could provide within the US. Glenn Greenwald says, this exchange illustrates so many points, but consider this. It's impossible even to imagine an MSNBC or CNN host questioning a leading Democrat politician this adversely. Adversarially? I don't know if Glenn Greenwald is wrong here on the word, or if I have just difficulty reading the word, but adversely. That's what I would say, adversely, not adversarially. Liberal media maligned Tucker as a GOP shill, but the main target of his attack was the GOP establishment. I fully agree with Glenn Greenwald here. It is a stunning thing in 2023, in the machine of controlled politics, to have what just happened with Tucker here pushing strong, even if he was finishing with "Amen, amen, Mike Pence, Vice President." You know, it is quite stunning. You wouldn't have this in the Democrat Party. People are trolling me in our adversarially. None of your answers are correct, guys. If you would like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey Super Chats are my favorite platform to receive support for the show. Alternatively, feel free to use Cointree or Entropy. The links to these platforms are in the description below. Here's another case. Tucker taking on the question of Joe Biden getting 81 million votes.
You think about the last election, mm-hmm. and what happened. Historic numbers for the current president. 81 million votes. 15 million more than Barack Obama. Twice the population of New York City more than Barack Obama. What do you think of that?
In terms of Biden?
Yeah. 81 million votes. They are saying that Joe Biden got 81 million votes. And my question is, do you accept that? And second, how do you think he did that?
I mean, all I care about is changing that. Like, we can't afford a President Kamala Harris. I will say that over and over.
Amen.
And we have to do everything we can to make sure that that happens.
But as a mechanical question, it's not a trick question. It's just like the mechanics of it, something you're thinking about since you're running. I don't think anyone would say Joe Biden was a great candidate.
No.
Didn't campaign.
He didn't campaign at all.
He was not a figure who commanded respect among Democrats. They made fun of him. I'm not attacking the guy, but that's true.
Right.
Nobody in Washington said, I want my kid to grow up to be Joe Biden. And yet, at the end, he's got 81 million votes. 15 million more than Barack Obama, who, whatever you think of him, was a very talented politician, and I think smart. So, like, how did he do that? And what can we learn from that?
Well,
those are very, they're very tough questions. I mean, it's unrealistic. Something very weird happened in Joe Biden's election. Call it fraud if you want. Call it there was a political machine that was just deployed to basically, you know, in the, like the gangs of New York, to kick people's ass so they would vote against Trump. That's what I think mostly happens. A massive political machine was deployed out of hate for Trump. And there was enough resentment against Trump fomented by the leftist media in the population that if someone paid by the Democrat Party was knocking at your door and was putting the voting paper in front of you and saying, hey, you have to check this box here if you hate Trump, that it worked. There was enough of all this for this whole system of political machine, I would call it that. I would not necessarily call it fraud, although in some instances, if they were professionally gathering these votes in that way, it might qualify as voter fraud because it's a form of harvesting that is illegal in certain places. I think that there are situations where a combination of popular resentment and media manipulation and professional work to recruit that, to transform that resentment into effective vote and a loosening of the standard of the vote in relation to the whole COVID and the whole people can't possibly go physically vote this time because COVID. All of this would explain to me the Joe Biden mega performance. Tucker asks GOP presidential candidate Asa Hutchinson, how many COVID shots did you get?
How many COVID shots did you take and how do you feel about it now in retrospect?
How many COVID shots did you take?
Zero. How many?
And that is another lesson in public speaking. Do not ever ask a question. Do not ever ask a question if you either do not know the response that your opponent will give to that question, or if you have reasons to believe that the response that he will give is disadvantageous to you. You know, he tried to catch Tucker Carlson here, but Tucker Carlson, you know, even without knowing for sure that he was unvaccinated, he has a very high likelihood of being unvaccinated. And so I'm never going to try to play Tucker Carlson on, oh yeah, are you unvaccinated? Because if I invest in that direction, I look bad when it's revealed that, yeah, he's just, he's pearly, he's pure blood. He has no reproach to be given on hypocrisy related to the vaccine.
How many COVID shots did you take and how do you feel about it now in retrospect?
How many COVID shots did you take?
See, that is a terrible question. Trying to bounce back and failing.
How many COVID shots did you take?
Zero.
So Tucker has no problem, instantly zero, of course, boom, right in your face. In case you were trying to hang on to Tucker to save you here, no hope. Tucker is not in your vaccinated club. Tucker is not someone who has compromised his own principles as part of this. And perhaps that's why, in the end, you know, Tucker was developing a home studio. And when you think about it, perhaps Fox News had to have Tucker work from home because he was refusing the vaccine. perhaps it's what's happening here. And when you think about it, the whole progression, Tucker works from home. You know, he has a whole home studio developed for him. And eventually Tucker becomes a Twitter star and gets fired by Fox News or gets canceled by Fox News, not necessarily officially fired, but kind of removed from the air. This is a progression that came probably from dating back to COVID. It is the COVID policies of Fox News that have forced out a free thinker who didn't want to be vaccinated for his job. Whereas all of the other Fox News employees, they were all getting the vaccine to be in the studio to respect the Fox News corporate demands. Isn't that fascinating that ultimately this divorce that happened within the right has been based around the axis of COVID vaccination and forced vaccination? Go Away says only two doses between you, me, JF, and Tucker. We're doing good, lads. So that means you were vaccinated twice because I'm totally unvaccinated. Tucker is totally unvaccinated. Well, to be honest, though, I mean, I have a luxury, which is I had been setting up a life of work at home way before COVID was even on our mind. Charlie Kirk says some prominent black women are low IQ. They got where they are due to affirmative action and at the expense of smarter whites. Unthinkable from a normie conservative 10 years ago, wokeness has led to a real reaction. I almost agree in full for this Twitter analysis, except at the end. I don't think it's wokeness that's pressuring Charlie Kirk. I think it's the right. It's the true right. Charlie Kirk can feel the pressure. He can feel that if he doesn't take positions that are close enough to those of Nick Fuentes, eventually we'll have a whole wing of the Republican Party that is Nick Fuentes-like. And actually, this wing will outgrow eventually the kind of normie center-right Republican.
You really have to wonder. In fact, you know, if we would have said 3 weeks ago, Blake, if we would have said that Joy Reid and Michelle Obama and Sheila Jackson Lee and Ketanji Brown Jackson were affirmative action picks, we would have been called the racist. But now they're coming out and they're saying it for us. They're coming out and they're saying, I'm only here because of affirmative action. Yeah, we know. You do not have the brain processing power to otherwise be taken really seriously. You had to go steal a white person's slot to go be taken somewhat.
Whoa, those are words that steal a white person's spot. I agree, but it's surprising to see just how much pressure there has been on Charlie Kirk, because I don't think it's in his interest to phrase it that way. If he wanted to frame himself as the perfect politician at the center right, he wouldn't have to say these sentences. Steal a spot from a white person, that is very much something I would expect a view of the alt-right. Now, why does he have to say it that way? It's because he's tired of getting drained on his right front. He's tired of being this guy stuck at the center and eaten at by the left and eaten at by the far right, and he's decided to up the ante a little bit.
But seriously, play cut 52.
But I rise today as a clear recipient of affirmative action, and particularly in higher education. I may have been admitted on affirmative action, both in terms of being a woman and a woman of color, but I can declare that I did not graduate on affirmative action. This is my personal story.
I don't think that is correct. I think that, anyways, the criteria for graduation are extremely loose compared to the criteria for acceptance. So that is one thing you know if you've been in the Faculty of Medicines. And I had my PhD in the Faculty of Medicine. And let me tell you, you have students, they work their ass off the whole life just to be accepted in the Faculty of Medicine. Once they make it in, it's like, oh, then they relax. Oh, then, oh my God, it's going to be easy. All I have to do is have acceptable grades now. Because they have to have like 99%, 98%, 97% scores when they're not accepted, before they are accepted at the Faculty of Medicine. Once they're accepted, they just have to pass their courses. That's all it is. Now, of course, it's a little hard, but it's nothing compared to the inclusion in the system. The inclusion is the bottleneck of our educational system. And she doesn't seem to understand this.
I hear because of action affirmative. She can't even say that.
What are you doing here, Charlie? That's kind of awkward. Are you demeaning a black female for misspeaking?
We know. It's very obvious to us that you were not smart enough to be able to get in on your own. I couldn't make it on my own, so I needed to take opportunities from someone more deserving. You know, this is how arrogant Joy Reid and Ketanji Brown Jackson and Michelle Obama and Sheila Jackson Lee are. They're so narcissistic, they think this is persuasive.
This is dog whistling at this point. This guy is dog whistling unintelligent attacks on a black female.
They think we're like, oh, of course. That's why we need affirmative action, because you have impressed us with your brilliance. Of course. Oh, no. Imagine the world without Joy Reid. Imagine the world without Sheila Jackson Lee or Michelle Obama or Ketanji Brown Jackson. They think this is persuasive.
Imagining the world without. I think that Charlie Kirk is on his way to a final solution of his own.
They think, as they kind of now reveal, that I'm only here because of anti-white, anti-Asian forced discrimination policies.
See, the equating here that he does is an equating that we've been doing for many years. The idea that it's a zero-sum game. There is no such thing as affirmative action that is not a zero-sum game. You are taking from whites and you are giving to non-whites. That is what it is. And it should be seen as an instance of racial politics of the worst kind, of the kind that deprives people of feeling a whole part of society. Because I've been seeing these systems develop in academia, and I was like, holy shit, I don't have a chance. Someone, a mediocre postdoc of another race, has a much better shot at a professorship position in this market, especially since you might think it's just a little bit of affirmative action. Oh, we just want one non-white in the whole department. But the problem is, the whole department is filled with boomer whites already. So there's really just one position. There's one spot to give. So if you give just that one spot to a non-white, you are punishing my generation in extreme ways. Like, if I'm the generation that has to give up, that has to be punished for being white, while all of the other generations before me can keep their spot, you are telling me that I have to play at an extreme disadvantage, because every door I will knock, every department I will go to apply, they will compare me with the older white professors there. So I'll never be a professor. I mean, this was one of my conclusions. Of course, it's not the only reason I left academia. Actually, I have foremost reasons than this. But it's definitely, it's telling you, well, is it worth trying? Is it worth at all to play a game that has been set for you to lose? And this is where I decided to play a game that I could win. I can win the idea of developing one of the most important scientific theory of all time. That I can do. But I can't compete in a place where I have to be punished for the boomer whites that have been employed before me, and I have to be punished to the interest of the non-white Generation X who comes to replace me. Anyways, fascinating what's happening in the Republican Party. You can feel the dynamics here. You have Tucker, he's representing a huge wing, most enthusiast wing of the Republican Party. You have even Charlie Kirk looking at the Nick Fuentes of this world and saying, I have to grab some of that action for me. And it's an interesting dynamic because I don't know that the Republican Party has any chance if it goes for the normie center-right positioning. End of the line, Joel says, going back to the Threads app subject from a few days ago, one point I only realize now is that it is linked to your real Facebook/Meta account. This has a self-censoring effect on people. They will not speak freely if not able to be anonymous on Threads. Yes, there is something. It's true that there is something good in the isolation of Twitter. You go to Twitter, you know what to expect. You know, Twitter is not a place where your aunt is following you. And that has massive consequences for speech. I mean, just this. Can you imagine what can come out of your fingers as you type on Twitter? Would it come out if you had it in your cognition, even unconsciously? My aunt is going to read this. That is just the presence. This is something actually I cover in The Moral Signal. The presence of females, and especially of old females, just physically around you, totally inhibits your creativity. I mean, it's not that you're trying to charm them. It's not that what they will think of you matters at all. It's just, I don't know, that's how it is. There is a censorship effect. Like, the existence of an aunt is just super inhibitive on the human brain, on the male brain. Deadstar has sent a super chat. He says, Jeff, have you reviewed this Mearsheimer article yet? Mearsheimer's realist political philosophy was a huge part of my political science education, and I think this article proves he's as sharp as ever. Well, no, I haven't reviewed this. I don't know who that is. I have no clue who that is. He has a paper. This paper examines the likely trajectory of the Ukraine war moving forward. I will address two main questions. First, is a meaningful peace agreement possible? My answer is no. We are now in a war where both sides, Ukraine and the West on one side and Russia on the other, see each other as an existential threat that must be defeated. Okay, and second, which side is likely to win the war? Russia will ultimately win the war, although it will not decisively defeat Ukraine. Okay, I'll read this. When I get a chance. Thank you for sending this. Go away, says Jeff, is lucky he got onto the internet early. Now that I watch multiple internet shows hosted by white men, I will only adopt a new show if hosted by a minority so that I can get a new perspective on the world. I'm pretty pro-white, but I don't need to hear any more libertarian dude bros. That is certainly go away trolling once again. The Black Podcast, I tried. Nothing of interest. Like, I can see sometimes they get these big guests and I know that these big guests have done them a favor. I know that they went on there not because the person is a particularly talented interviewer, but because it's a black show, and their big guests thought, well, you know, I should go on a black show. And, you know, because, or else someone eventually is going to count the number of Jewish shows I go on, and they're going to say, why are you always on Jewish shows? And so I'm sure that there's many times these big intellectuals, they do their own affirmative action of a sort. And honestly, there is not a single black podcast that I ended up finding of any interest for any second. It's like there is a lack of talent in the interviewing here. Not just cocaine. USSC reveals another drug was found in the White House. Small amounts of marijuana were found on two occasions in June and September of 2022. My God, the Democrats cannot retain themselves. The possession of any amount of marijuana is considered a Class A misdemeanor, which carries a penalty of up to a year in jail or a $1,000 fine. How is it that there's all this drug in the White House and we never find who it is? It must be someone very close to Joe Biden. If these secret services are not willing to deploy the best quality of work they are capable of. Speaker's Corner says, Jeff, would you do a stream with Sneeko if he asked you? Yes, I have some respect for Sneeko. I don't know much about him, but I've seen him on the podcast with Nick Fuentes on the Fresh and Fit. You know, I like him. I like him. He remains to me a kind of Muslim, so it's not my thing. But I acknowledge that from his Muslim perspective, he has the most accurate view on the problems of Western civilization. Just like Daniel Akikadju, you know, it's this pretty much the same space here where I look at these guys, they are absolutely correct. Like their Muslim perspective on the world has given them access to a fully truthful view of the problems of Western civilization, a brilliant one that is worth hearing. But at the end, I don't believe in Allah. So it's like, at the end, they are basing their worldview on something that I consider to be false. Not that I want to convince them of becoming atheist, but it's like, okay, yeah, well, it all stems from Allah and what Allah has ordered to do. Yes, I would definitely interact with him if he ever needed to or wanted to. Loophole, Biden admin forgives $39 billion in student debt for over 800,000 borrowers. Unbelievable. As suspected, following the Supreme Court just said your student loan forgiveness is not constitutional. And what does he do? Well, he finds another trick. The administration has created their own loophole to do it anyway. Under those repayment plans, borrowers get any remaining debt canceled by the government after they have made payments for 20 years or 25 years, depending on when they borrowed and their loan and plan type. In the past, payments that should have moved the borrower closer to being debt-free were not accounted for, according to the Biden administration. So basically, they're making this weird, like, arbitrary criteria. Well, if you've been paying your loans for that long, we're paying it for you. We're doing the payment for you. So, of course, under this kind of system, no one wants to pay their loans. No, everyone understands the trick. The trick is not to pay your student loan and eventually Joe Biden will come to do it for you. Threads unravels, so-called Twitter killer app sees exodus of users, plunge in engagements. That is interesting because yesterday we had the diminishment of the searches on Google. They were going down. Now we have more precise data. Threads daily users down 20% from Saturday, and user time spent down 50% already. Peak Threads has already been achieved. This is amazing because Twitter is growing and growing, and you know, 50% less time. That means you have a lot of people curious about the platform, but they get tired real quick. I mean, less than a week and they're already dropping out. They're not spending much time there. And that is what I had predicted because I've been on there. The problem is intelligence there. It's not intelligent content. It's not unique. It's not interesting. It's not worth spending any time on. So we are already past peak Threads. Hunter is checking. Ukrainian oligarch accused of bribing Biden's got help with passports, with his passport. So Hunter Biden and pals attempted to help Burisma founder Mykola Zlochevsky obtain a U.S. visa right after then-VP Joe Biden's son became a board member for the Ukrainian energy firm The Daily Caller reports. So you and I, when we wait for these bureaucracies to give us visas so we can... I mean, at this point, I think I may not even be able to enter the U.S. even on a vacation visa. But these guys, they have their ins and, oh, let me check. Let me check for you. And Hunter Biden was trying to get the bureaucracy activated on this visa evaluation. That is really sad. It's a sad state of affair. We have heat records. The heat records have been shattered. Oh yeah, I actually tweeted about this many days ago when they started saying this is the five most hot days in the history of climate for the last 100,000 years. I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. You cannot know every day what was the temperature 10,000 years ago because we didn't have thermometers. And you certainly cannot know 10,000 years ago and 50,000 years ago the day-to-day temperature. Now, they have methods where they dig carrots into whatever soil, and then, you know, you can tell the average temperature of the season, maybe. And then they have methods that involve the rings of trees. There's various methods where you can get an evaluation of the temperature enough that, you know, we see waves happening in these methods. That represents, you know, ice ages from very long times in the past. But you cannot know every day. The best you can know on an everyday resolution is probably, what, the last 80, 100 years? And then, so I raised the question on Twitter, maybe it's time we just check our thermometers? Well, there's currently a hypothesis developing that indeed it's about the measure. It is not so much hotter than it is made out to be. It is not as hot as it is made out to be. Climate Science Journal was saying the heat records have been shattered, quotation mark, because ESA has started using land surface temperatures, not air temperatures at 2 meters above the surface. Which means they have altered the standards of the past records, which means they are not actually record temperatures except on the short term. ESA explains the map shows the actual temperature of the land's surface, which is significantly hotter than air temperature. So we've changed the measure. I can't believe that my prediction was kind of there, because I just threw this. I said, maybe it's time we check our thermometers. And it turned out that it was where they placed the thermometer that has changed. Holy shit. I mean, there's so much of this. There's, in climate science, there is selection of windows, you know. They show you a graph, and then if you get a long period before the graph, you realize you've been deceived. They do selection of data, they do windowing of data, and now they do repositioning of measurements without telling people. Absolutely horrible, this climate science. It is not a science at all. Jobless says, you can't tell me it's not been around 40 Celsius here in Europe. I mean, I understand that you feel it's hot, and it's probably hot, and I feel the heat. I mean, of course, I've moved north in my life, so I can't really compare with my childhood. I can say that it's hot, but it's not the hottest series of 5 days in the last 100,000 years. That is simply not true. And that is the initial tweet that led me to say, well, there's something wrong here. There's something wrong. Some lie is happening here. DOJ quietly removes child sex trafficking information from its website. We can see, you know, definition of child sex trafficking and that kind of stuff. They're disappearing from the FBI, from the DOJ. And it's probably linked to this whole Sound of Freedom movie. The left is starting to be very annoyed that, oh my God, the right is really going strong on this child sex trafficking stuff. And at this point, they just want to push the subject away. And that's probably why we see some of these websites disappear. What else do we have in the news? Because being tired and exhausted in the shoulders today, I'm going to make it a short show. We have a woman just falling out of enthusiasm for some concert thing.
All right, well, on that note, I got my brother Jason Tatum with me. Obviously, you know that.
Oh, she fell face first. I don't know. Maybe she was starting to be so exciting that the people behind her just threw her down. Or maybe she just fell out of too much enthusiasm. Whatever this guy was announcing, it made her too happy.
All right, well, on that note, I got my brother Jason Tatum with me. Obviously, you know that.
Boom, straight face first. Don't go to concerts. Dangerous places. Not safe. Ripple Labs ruling throws US crypto token regulation into disarray. What, legally speaking, is a cryptocurrency token? Very good analysis here. Because he says the answer appears to be from the judgment that XRP is both an unlawfully sold investment contract when sold to VCs, venture capitalists, or institutional buyers, but a perfectly lawful something else when sold anonymously via cryptocurrency exchanges or distributed to employees or by insiders. Yeah, it's fascinating because it's like, oh, well, they're going to be holding it. They're going to be treating differently whether a bunch of anonymous people are selling a crypto or whether it's people inside the team that developed the crypto. And that complicates things because what you're going to have is, of course, you're going to have people develop strategies to make it look like the cryptos come from someone else. So let's say I was to start a crypto. If I call the crypto JF Coin and I'm selling all of the crypto myself at first, and you're all buying the crypto JF coin, and buying the JF coin gives you access to bonus material of the JF G2Night show. That would put me under under the securities law. I would be in trouble. But if I just, okay, I start a coin, and it's not the JF coin. It's called the cow coin. And I have a friend who's called you know, Betty the cow. And she's an anonymous person. She has her own wallet. Now, I arrange my whole distribution so that Betty the cow gets a lot of coin at the beginning, and I arrange myself with Betty that she pays me back, and I have Betty the cow promote and push the cow coin onto the internet and on paper as JF, as the creator of this crypto. I make zero on paper, but Betty the cow is super generous to me. A year later, she gives me millions of dollars. That seems like, if not arranged in the back like this, if not arranged between me and Betty, or if they cannot prove that I've made a deal with Betty, it seems that we would be in legal territory here. So it's the current state of the crypto legislation. And the article ends up saying the only way that will get us out of this super imprecise system is Congress would have to come in and write clear laws about crypto. Liberals lose it after Cornel West tells CNN that NATO is to blame for Ukraine crisis. So the leftists, they have this cognitive dissonance around many of them being anti-war, but many of them also being totally in the rooting for Ukraine.
Know how empires behave, Sister Caitlin. If Russia had missiles in Mexico and Canada, the United States government would probably blow them to smithereens because that.
Oh, that's a right-wing talking point right there. I've been saying that kind of stuff before, even I. So I and Cornel West are horseshoeing ourselves around the left and right.
That's how empires behave. We had the same challenge in Cuba in 1962. So what we end up winning with a criminal invasion. And I know some of my left-wing comrades who know it's an invasion. Criminal invasion, but a criminal invasion provoked by the expansion of NATO, which is an instrument of U.S. global power. And we have to be able to conceive of a world. When we look at China, when we look at Russia, when we look at Ethiopia, when we look at Haiti, when we look at Brazil, we got to see precious human beings rather than these competitive nation states that are trying to devour more profits, more land, and more territory. Can we conceive of such a world? Can we pursue such a world? I think we have to. What's at stake? The destruction of the species, the destruction of the planet, the destruction of democracies as we know it.
But
so we're cutting against the grain, but always with a smile.
Practically speaking, what would you accept in Ukraine? Like what? I mean, Trump claims he could fix it in 24 hours. What would that look like for you?
Oh, what I would do, I would bring in the Chinese, the Turks, the African rulers. I would sit.
Bring in everyone who's the most distantly, remotely related to this conflict. Okay. I guess that's where I differ from this communist. I'm really not a collectivist. I tend to think that the more people you bring in, the least efficient it will be.
Sit down with the Ukrainian leader.
Yeah, bring in the African kings. What can the African kings bring to this discussion?
And say, we must stop this war, stop these war crimes, the cluster bombs on a variety of different parties, and make sure that we begin a diplomatic process for a just peace. And that just peace is going to have some serious concessions across the board.
Well, yeah, I mean, the thing is, you have to lower your expectations as NATO. You have to understand you lost a war, NATO. And when you lose a war, you're going to have to give a lot. You know, Zelensky thinks taking back Crimea. We're not even at taking back Kherson, as far as I'm concerned. As far as I'm concerned, Ukraine lost everything that's to the south and the east of the Dnieper River. You could argue, well, they have defended Kharkiv and these places. Okay, maybe, but that's what we're talking about. As long as NATO and Zelensky are stubbornly pursuing the taking back everything down to Crimea, it's just not realistic. It's like you are asking for an outcome that would be positive because you didn't have Crimea before this war started. You're asking for a progression when you lost the war. This probably has never happened in human history. What the fuck are you talking about? Callum Oxworth sends a super chat. He says, did you hear about the Fed's earnings drop? Good news for crypto, he says. Let's have a look. I don't pay attention to this kind of graph. Wow. What is this? That is a massive movement from August of last year. And we're talking about minus 70,000 millions of dollars. So I don't know what is it. Is it? So that would be billions. That would be what? Trillions? So minus 70 trillions of dollars? I don't know. How does that work? Anyways, whatever is illustrated here, I don't fully understand it. I would have to research it. But yeah, I mean, this, I don't know. Callum Oxworth says unrealized losses. I knew that there had to be something here. That this cannot be the operating budget of the Fed. So basically what we're talking about is the Fed was accumulating stocks of all kind and they were buying everything. And then everything went down. So we peaked. The stock market peaked. And so what we're seeing is the unrealized losses of the value of what they have. So basically, they have held onto stocks that were diminishing in value. And I think it's part of the strategy. I think it's what the Fed does, right? They say that they buy stocks for the purpose of backing up their money on the market. Not sure exactly how that works, but I've heard them say this. But I guess that if it goes down too much, then they become in trouble because then their backing value power simply loses its value as a backing power of what's out there in US dollars. So I guess that at some point they have to make sure through their intervention that it eventually goes back up. And I guess that's what your theory is, that it's great news for crypto because it means the Fed is going to have to intervene, print money in a way that restores this state of affair that throws us back into positive domain. They have to restore the economy at some point, I guess. Lendold Guntram says we had a BTC dump in the last couple hours. Is that real or is that a small dump? 30,300. Yeah, I mean, it's small dumps, but generally, Bitcoin has been performing extremely well in the last few weeks. Autonomous has sent a super chat on Entropy. He says, hey, Jeff, check out the documentary Transcendent Man. It's available on YouTube. Would love a review. Transcendent Man on YouTube. I now have my smart TV, so I could play it. Yesterday, I was watching on my smart TV. What did I watch yesterday? I was watching... What did I watch yesterday? It was a great movie that I... I was happy to rewatch. Let me try to search for it. I was watching yesterday. The Wolf of Wall Street. That's what I was watching. And oh my God, that's a good movie. That's a very good movie. The way it is filmed, the acting is top. I was watching it because of the whole memes around Margot Robbie and whether she's a 10. And someone had tweeted at me the picture of Margot Robbie in this movie. And holy shit, was she beautiful. You know, the girlfriend of Leonardo DiCaprio in this movie. Holy shit. So yeah, I watched it and it's a great movie. It's well done. It's filmed in a kind of half documentary type of way that is kind of rough on the edges, but it gives a realistic, it gives a kind of realness to the jokes in there. So you tell me, Transcendent Man. Transcendent Man official trailer by Ray Kurzweil.
Very young species in this 15 billion year old galaxy. People think of the human race as being this technologically advanced species. For God's sakes, we've been technologically advanced for a whole 100 years. We've been the human race for 100,000 years. We are just at the very beginning. We have so much to go. We have so much to learn. We know nothing.
Which will give us not just more human intelligence, but will actually give us superhuman intelligence.
Okay, I'll watch this. I might review it. It seems very boomerish. I've been ahead of this, you know, with the revolutionary phenotype. I'm like, yeah, you guys are thinking about robots and dangers. Perhaps that would be a good combo to do. I could do a combo episode reviewing this and also getting in the detail. There is an artist in our audience who went on my encyclopedia, arguably.io, and who made the most autistic super document documenting all of the risks of AI. And holy shit, is this quality work, quality research. And I said, I have to read through and understand everything so I can make a show about it. So perhaps I could combine these two things and make a full show on the whole dangers of AI type of stuff. Well, thank you for the link. I'll be putting it in my bookmarks, and whenever I have time, I don't know if I'll have time tonight. I hate Ray Kurzweil, by the way. He's way too focused on intelligence itself. And intelligence, the problem is it can be enslaved. It can be enslaved to genetic interest. I mean, it's not a problem. It's actually a good news. It means that intelligence in and of itself probably won't lead to the destruction of humanity. We'll be able to farm it in the right direction, and maybe it's going to kill some people, but other people will survive it and will be better, and they'll make better intelligence. They'll be better at enslaving intelligence. It's really evolutionary directions that matter. Go away, says Jeff. They changed the YouTube app on smart TVs. Now the thumbnails are really massive and it's a pain to browse. You can only see like 2 video thumbnails at a time now instead of 8. But I don't know. There are many smart TV apps. There's Roku. There's the Samsung app. Personally, I have a Samsung TV. So I don't know if what you say there applies to Samsung. Because when I browse, I think I can see about 10 or 12 different YouTube videos, thumbnails. Kovi Killer Clown sends a super chat. He says, hello. Well, thanks for the support. So yeah, I think it depends on the firmware and the type of TV you have. I just bought today, I bought a wireless keyboard. I went to Walmart. It was $30. For $30, I plugged a wireless keyboard to my smart TV. And it's easier to use. It allows you to browse with the arrows because the little remote that they give you with a Samsung TV, not super efficient. The arrows are not clearly distinguished from one another, so it's kind of playing with a mini mouse type of thing. And on top of it, it's difficult for young people. Children have difficulty, playing with the small button of a Samsung remote. So I just bought a keyboard, and the keyboard is, it's a basic keyboard with the buttons well separated from each other. Go away, says JF, I have a Samsung. The update will come to your TV soon, if it hasn't already. Enjoy the small thumbnails while you can. Oh, well, maybe it's going to come. I don't know. Maybe also there may be different softwares for different Samsung TVs. Covey Killer Clown says, when will you play piano again? Those remotes are not Otis friendly. Yeah, piano, I would love to play it, but I've been so swamped in my life. I have many great things to do with life. I love life. I love my current life. But it is super demanding, it is super demanding. I have a lot of home responsibilities. And pulling out my piano from under the whole crap that it is and putting it here, it's a whole day's work to just move it, plug it, set up my stream so that I can perform live. It's not coming soon, let me tell you. I am swamped with happiness and just the greatest things of life that I have to handle and care for. But that takes a lot of my time. On top of it, I have some beautiful contractual news. I have job offers for more than I could take. And so very often with these contract work, I've been taking them for many years. But I'm at the point where I'm like, is there a way you can pay me less and I can do a little less work? Because I love working for you guys. I love working for you guys, but my schedule is full. So I have so much to do that is so intellectually stimulating. So bear with me if during the summer, the show maybe I will have less time, maybe I will come less prepared, but we're still going to hang out because that's always my condition to taking these jobs and these contracts. I always say, is there a way I can continue being the man I want to be, which is I want to be continuing to speak publicly. And I want to be continuing to care for what matters most in life. Is there a way I can be integrated to your team in a way that leaves me all the time to do all this? And it's been working. It's been working great. And I'm super excited about these little jobs I get. It's fascinating. It's in the domain of sometimes programming, coding, management. Sometimes writing reports about super specialized mathematical things. It's super interesting to me. Covey Killer Clown says, you should be a science consultant for Gavin McInnes. Well, you should be a balls massager for Lizzo.